This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Alert, hourly update, breaking crime news now.
I'm Jennifer Gould. In a chillingly bizarre scene, a 28-year-old teacher wanted for the brutal double murder of a couple hiking with their young daughters was calmly arrested mid-haircut, ending a frantic five-day manhunt. James Andrew McGann, a seemingly unassuming educator, now faces two counts of capital murder and possibly the death penalty in a crime that has left Arkansas utterly shattered. Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders praised the tireless efforts of investigators. Here she is at the news conference.
You commit a violent, senseless act here in our state. Our law enforcement will hunt you down and bring you to justice.
The horror unfolded on July 26th at Devil's Den State Park, a scenic Ozark Mountains retreat. Clinton David Brink, 43, and Kristen Amanda Brink, 41, who had just moved to Prairie Grove from South Dakota, were enjoying a hike with their daughters, ages 7 and 9, when they were mercilessly stabbed to death. Clinton, a milk delivery driver, was set to start his new job just 2 days after the attack. Kristen was a licensed nurse. The children, miraculously unharmed, witnessed the butchering of their mom and dad, who shielded their two daughters from the slaughter. The remote park's rugged terrain and lack of cell phone service initially complicated the police response, delaying public alerts for hours after the 2:40 p.m. attack was reported. Police scanner audio captured the tragic reality.
Again, repeat.
Here, yell, calling for help. We're hiking down.
Try to relay to the office. So we found the victims down here. They're on the lower Devil's Den Trail. Just a couple minutes. I think I see you right there. I've got two bodies down here.
A massive manhunt aided by FBI resources ensued. Investigators released a composite sketch and a photo of a suspect, described as a white male in a dark ball cap, sunglasses, and fingerless gloves, seen fleeing in a black sedan, possibly a Mazda, with a taped-over license plate. Police also noted that the killer was likely injured during the attack. An overwhelming number of public tips coupled with instrumental video footage led police to McGann. 5 days after the killings on July 30th at 4:57 p.m., authorities found their man not hiding in the wilderness, but at Lupita's Beauty Salon and Barber Shop in Springdale. Investigators photographed hair on the floor and seized his black sedan, matching descriptions from the crime scene. McGann, who had recently moved from Oklahoma for a teaching job with Springdale Public Schools, but had not started his role, previously taught fifth grade at Spring Creek Elementary in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. While he passed required background checks and left his previous job, quote, of his own accord, end quote, there have been no reported prior disciplinary issues with him. The motive for this heinous crime remains a mystery. McGann is being held at Washington County Jail with a pre-trial detention hearing set for August 4th. The two daughters are now safely with relatives. More crime and justice news after this.
I'm Nicole Parton. The attorneys representing Sean Diddy Combs submitted a motion to the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York, requesting that his conviction from earlier this month be overturned, or at the very least, that he be granted a new trial. The 62-page motion contends that the Mann Act, under which Combs was found guilty on July 2 of two counts related to transporting individuals for prostitution, was misapplied in Combs' case. The legal team asserts that there was a lack of sufficient evidence to prove that Combs transported anyone with the intention of engaging in prostitution, even if it includes any exchange of sex for money. The motion emphasizes that the term, quote, any, is significant in this context. Additionally, the defense argues that the Mann Act does not criminalize Combs' actions because he had no commercial intent and did not mean for the paid escorts to engage in sexual acts with him, with the emphasis on did not intend included in the motion. Furthermore, the filing claims that maintaining the convictions would infringe upon First Amendment rights, as compensating individuals for filming sexual performances is deemed protected First Amendment activity. The motion states, quote, at the very least, a new trial is warranted due to prejudicial spillover from evidence that would have been inadmissible had the Mann Act charges been tried separately. This refers to the introduction of evidence meant to support the two sex trafficking counts and one racketeering conspiracy charge for which Combs was acquitted, which was described as inflammatory and irrelevant to the Mann Act offenses. During the trial, the jury cleared Combs of two sex trafficking charges and the more severe racketeering conspiracy charge. The evidence presented over 6 weeks included testimonies describing how Combs allegedly hired male escorts for drug-fueled sexual encounters involving at least two women, one of whom was his ex-girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, while the other testified as the name Jane, during which Combs reportedly observed and recorded the encounters. No evidence was provided indicating that Combs actively participated in these sessions, referred to as freak-offs. The motion filed on Wednesday follows another request from Combs' legal team the previous day, seeking to have him released on bail while awaiting sentencing on October 3. The request suggests that he post a $50 million bond and stay at his Miami residence during this period. The defense's bail motion underscored that, quote, there has never been a case like this where a person and his girlfriend organized consensual sexual encounters with adult men as part of their established swingers lifestyle and faced prosecution under the Mann Act, they argued. Sean Combs should not be incarcerated for such conduct, they continued. On the same day Combs was convicted, Judge Aaron Submaranian, who presided over the trial, denied the request for bail prior to sentencing, citing a provision in the law relating to transportation for prostitution that suggested detaining him is warranted.
I'm Drew Nelson. Three young girls are detained in San Francisco for a string of unprovoked attacks that left at least two people injured in a possible hate crime.
You can kind of see Addie targeting Asian women, I don't know, for whatever reason.
That's the mom of one of the victims on KNTV. San Francisco police arrested the three girls, ages 11, 13, and 14, over the weekend. They are suspects in five assaults across the city during July. The most recent happened Saturday afternoon on 4th Street near Mission. Two people were attacked by a group of girls. Bystanders stepped in. The suspects ran. Here's a witness who asked to remain anonymous and have their voice disguised.
Two people pulling a girl's hair and then punches and kicks on her. And then I quickly saw blood. I saw the attackers shift to a second victim.
Officers used surveillance video from that scene to identify the girls. Plainclothes police later found them at Stonestown Galleria about 10 miles away. The 13 and 14-year-old girls were arrested on suspicion of assault likely to cause great bodily harm. They were cited and released to their parents. The 11-year-old was detained, warned, and also released to her parents.
We are looking into a hate aspect. At this time, there is no evidence.
SFPD spokesman Robert Rueka on KNTV. He says the attacks were unprovoked. Interim Police Chief Paul Yep says, quote, violent attacks like these will never be tolerated. I am extremely disappointed in the actions of these individuals, and they will be held accountable. The investigation remains open. Officers are still searching for more suspects. Anyone with information is urged to contact SFPD at 415-575-4444 or text TIP411 with a message starting with SFPD.
I'm Jennifer Gould. The U.S. Navy's elite Blue Angels are in an unconventional dogfight, not against enemy pilots, but with a grieving Seattle woman who says their sonic assault tragically broke her cat's heart. Lauren Ann Lombardi is launching a legal strike against the squadron, claiming their roaring jets turned her 14-year-old feline's final days into a battlefield of noise and fear. Lombardi spoke to 97.3 Cairo News Radio.
She only reacted that way to the Blue Angels. If you haven't experienced the Blue Angels flying over your house, it would rattle our house.
They fly over here.
Yeah, it's loud.
Layla, a cat already weakened by congestive heart failure, was a helpless casualty caught in the crossfire. According to the newly filed federal lawsuit, the Blue Angels FA-18 Super Hornets, thundering overhead at 700 miles per hour during the 2023 and 2024 Seafair air shows, were the final blow. Lombardi says her home became a war zone, with Layla cowering in terror, her heart rate spiking dangerously despite sedation. The pet parent fought back with blankets and by covering her cat's ears, but nothing could muffle the deafening barrage. Layla was euthanized after a week-long stay at a specialty hospital. The lawsuit does not blame the Navy for her death, but alleges their sonic assault robbed her of a peaceful goodbye. In Lombardi's ideal world, the air show would be nixed and replaced with something like a laser light show, but she acknowledged that eliminating the seven-decade tradition would be unrealistic. The battle has also raged on a second front, social media. Lombardi alleges the Blue Angels violated her First Amendment rights by blocking her on Instagram. After she fired off an expletive-laden critique and a petition titled, quote, "We all want to feel safe, no more Blue Angels over Seattle," end quote, her messages were silenced. The lawsuit demands that her account be unblocked and that the squadron, including Commander Adam Bryan, be forced to undergo First Amendment training. This small-scale war has a much larger backdrop, with a 2024 University of Washington study cited in the complaint, which notes the noise is a health risk for more than 74,000 Puget Sound residents and endangering marine life. The Blue Angels, a powerful and silent opponent in this legal battle, have declined to comment on the pending litigation. For the latest crime and justice news, follow the Crime Alert Hourly Update on your favorite podcast app. With this Crime Alert, I'm Jennifer Gould.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.